community of people who lost family members had had an opportunity to really take advantage of what the plea agreements offered, we might be a lot further along as a nation toward reaching some kind of understanding.
Terry Rockefeller, I want to thank you so much for being with us. You lost your sister on 9/11. And this last fact, it cost $500 million to run the Guantanamo prison, something like $13 million for each of the 30 prisoners left. Compare that to something like $78,000. It's $13 million per prisoner in Guantanamo, $78,000 for people, for prisoners at Supermax held at a federal prison. That does it for our show. Shana Katadal of Center for Constitutional Rights, thanks so much for being with us. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM in the Portland area and all over the world at KBOO.FM.
What does the average KBOO listener think of self-help radio?
This is so hard and complicated.
I have no idea what it is.
What's this old-time music?
I feel so proud of myself.
It seems kind of worthless.
Why does it have to make so much noise?
It feels very hipster.
That's the worst thing.
Look at how humanity has used their intellect.
Self-help radio, a different theme explored with music and talk every week. Tuesdays, midnight to 3 a.m. on KBOO Portland.
KBOO has a mobile app. You can listen to all your favorite shows, subscribe to KBOO podcasts, even set KBOO as your alarm clock. Just look for KBOO on the iTunes and Google Play Store. And don't forget to leave us a five-star review.
Hi, this is Pat Metheny. You're listening to Radio KBOO here in Portland.
Good morning, and you are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM, broadcasting 90.7 FM in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis, and via the World Wide Web, it is KBOO.FM. I'm Cecil Prescott, and I am your host this morning. I'm pausing because it's been a while, and I'm trying to refamiliarize myself with the routine here. It's been almost about a month since we have been on the air because of counter-programming and some vacation time. And a lot has happened in this month. Before our last broadcast was just before the Republican convention. I believe it was after the presidential debate. Wow, a lot has changed. And in a few weeks, a lot has changed, certainly in the last couple of weeks, speaking primarily about the U.S. presidential race and how the dynamics has changed in terms of candidates. President Biden decided not to run for re-election. Endorsed the vice president. She has since secured enough delegates to the Democratic Convention, which will take place in Chicago soon. So she is probably be the Democratic nominee for president of the United States. And as all of you wise people know, things have changed in that election. And it has been an election that it has had an impact in many ways. Those of you who are tuned into electoral matters are familiar with how in nationwide election, oftentimes who is at the head of the ticket on the national ticket for president has an impact on other names listed below and on the ticket. So the impact on state and local races also has an impact. So if there is a tremendous outturn of voters because of who's on top of the ballot, there is a perception that it will influence voters' other choices. So, you know, it's sort of like I'm at the supermarket, why not pick up something else? You know, I'm at the ballot, I want to vote for president. Oh, there are other names on the ballot for other offices. Let me see who else I can vote for. And if you are inclined, strongly inclined to vote for one candidate or the other at the top of the candidate of the ballot, the suggestion is that you might also vote for candidates aligned to those candidates at the top of the ticket. So a lot can happen and a lot will happen concerning the election. And certainly we are all familiar with how the impact will have on other elections. If you have some thoughts of it, when I took a break, I was for the most part disconnected from a lot of what was going on in the world, and so I'm just trying to catch up. And you know, there's hundreds of emails to catch up with, and hundreds of emails on multiple email accounts, and so like, oh my gosh, why do you take a vacation? Because it's so much work to prepare for a vacation and so much work when you come back from a vacation. But, you know, those are frivolous first world problems. And you probably have things to say that are concerns about the elections, about what's going on in your communities, and about your insights on the state of the world. Let me remind you that I invite you to call 503-231-8187. If you have some thoughts on the presidential election or others, please give us a call. In my introduction, I mentioned that somehow if people are motivated to come out and support a candidate, they might also be tempted to vote for other candidates that are also on the ballot. And I came across an article this week that I found curious. It talks about the change in dynamics, but I'll bring that up in a little bit. But first, I want to hear from Santiago. Good morning. How are you this day?
I'm doing well, Cecil. How about yourself?
I'm doing okay. Okay, what's going on? What do you have?
Well, I don't know. Like, I'm actually really surprised that Biden decided to give up the ghost on the election. Yeah. You know, I think Trump being the way he is, I think a lot of people don't recognize how bullheaded and stubborn Joe Biden has always been, and you know, and so like people basically having to threaten friendships and relationships in order to get him to stop running was pretty jarring for him. But I don't know, like, I
so do you...
It's interesting.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I was just
going to...
I was going to say, since you mentioned about how the people pushed Biden out, any insight in, you know, are there forces... Well, I doubt. I don't know. Is there any way to force Trump to go out to leave?
No, I don't think so. I think he, even with this stubbornness Biden is, he had clearly has some ability to self-reflect. I don't see Trump having the ability. I mean, he's a narcissist.
Okay.
So it's really hard for a narcissist to be self-reflective. But I think when it comes to Biden, you know, the biggest thing with Biden is that, like, I think, you know, as, you know, some of me and my friends were talking about, like, it's, I mean, he's a diehard neoliberal through and through. And the plan that he had was decent, but the problem is it was him putting forth the plan. Like, he's cut from the same cloth as Hillary Clinton. He's very disingenuous. His record is tattered with the most blatant of hypocrisies. I mean, he was giving a speech at the 60th anniversary of the Civil Rights Movement. Mm-hmm. when he was young, able, and vocal, he sided with white supremacists. You know, he gave a moving eulogy to Strom Thurmond. You know what I mean? Like, he's literally just like a snake in the grass.
Well, yeah, certainly your observation of Mr. Biden, he was in the Senate for decades, so he was, you know, mm-hmm. a part of that institution in terms of the Washington establishment. So,
yeah. Yeah.
So finally,
but you know, go ahead.
No, I said so. Finally, he got the insight or wisdom, or you know, to say, okay, it's time to go. You mentioned that, you know, he was a neoliberal. So do you sense? I imagine you don't sense any change in policies between what he proposes and what the vice president proposal in. Do you?
Well, you know, the biggest thing that was surrounding Biden was his seemingly he's a right winger, but you know, like, but you know, coming from a Democrat side, but I mean, like, his support for Israel, and I think there was a lot of hope that Kamala Harris would take a different route, but she is affirming Israel's right to defend itself, which is still just. You know, it's still just basic, like, run-of-the-mill Democrat stuff. So,
right.
I mean, we'll see. I mean, you know, and the other thing, too, is that, you know, it's the whole, you know, and last week on the Tuesday show, they brought on a lawyer to talk about, you know, Kamala's tenure as top cop of California.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that, you know, there's a lot of, you know, voters, especially black and brown voters, who, I mean, I think at the very least would like to hear, like, a legit, like, apology or explanation, you know, and they say, well, you know, it was a different time and you can't take things back. But the truth of the matter is that, like, there are families still dealing with the effects of the 94 crime bill, something that, you know, that Biden had a hand in, that, you know, people like Harris had a hand in, the talented 10th. Somebody that I like to follow on YouTube called it the Black Excellence Brunch Crowd, you know, like it's the, you know, coming from the same school of thought as like Bill Cosby and, you know, a lot of those other cats who think that, you know, the problem with black people is black culture. They just pull up their pants and learn how to speak better and get a job that, you know, we wouldn't have all these problems when like the things that she did demonstrably immiserated the black folks that she was supposed to represent.
Well,
you know, you don't just go jailing parents for truancy when the parents need to be working in order to be able to provide a household, and especially when like black and brown folks, but you know, black folks especially, since we're talking about Kamala Harris, you know, black folks make much less, you know, make much, especially black women, make much less money in the aggregate than a lot of other folks. And it's just, it seems so hypocritical.
Well, let's
to,
see.
Sidestep her history.
Right. Well,
you
let's
know what I mean.
Yeah. Well, let's see what will develop within the next 90 days in this election, and see
yeah,
how.
I mean, honestly, I have a feeling she'll win just because, like, she's so different than the two like animated corpses we had running at the same time. You know what I mean? Like, she's young, she's vibrant, and most importantly, they have no argument. Like, watching right wingers come up with arguments when they've been like chanting "Let's go, Brandon" for 3.5 years is probably the most hilarious part of this.
Okay. Like, yeah, well,
you know what I mean?
I do. And we have a couple of callers, and I appreciate you getting us started off. And let's see what happens. Hey, thank you so much, Santiago, and you have a good day. And you're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO. I'm Cecil, and next we will go to Corey. Good morning, Corey.
Hey, good morning, Cecil. Glad to hear from you. Actually, I just moved back to Portland. We'll talk about that another time.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm really happy that Vice President Harris is, and I agree with Santiago. I think she might be able to win. I do find it interesting. People, not Santiago, but people talking about her stance on criminal justice reform, especially when she was the Attorney General, because on one end, you know, she was basically, it wasn't enough that what she was doing. If you look at her previous presidential campaign, she released a CJ reform plan. She wanted to scale back incarceration. She wanted to end the death penalty. So, I mean, she would even want to ban private prisons. So what I'm seeing conservatives say is, on one hand, oh, look at what she did. She went too far. But then, to be honest, it wasn't far enough. She was also the attorney general. And so basically the mechanisms that she had in place were basically her doing her job. Like, she was doing her job. And that's what I find interesting about, you know, especially comes with people of color and women of color. She has a job to do, whatever their job may be, and she does her job. She did her job well, and yet she's getting demonized for it. You can talk about the laws that were in place that she could have, you know, she didn't. She couldn't change the law. She was just doing, like I said, she did what she did with the mechanism in place. And so I do see this sort of backlash to where they're going to use that. But I don't think it's going to hit. I don't think it's hitting well. I don't think anything Trump has done so far has hit her and stuck. And if he's going to keep going with this race thing about she was black and now she's Indian, like, yo, man, that's not going to stick, because you can't play that game with her. She went to an HBCU. She's acknowledged herself as a black woman time and time again. But yet she's still Indian. And I'm sorry if that confuses someone like Donald Trump or J.D. Vance. That's their thing. For the most part, we as people, me, myself, and most people I know, like, yeah, we understand how people of color, how differences, how you can be one or two different things. Case in point, President Obama. So I find that to be silly. But I do want to just say this. I think seeing the social media presence, the voter registration surge, the youth enthusiasm, and the campaign donations, I think she can pull it off. But I think that what she's going to have to do is, I like Shapiro, but maybe it's the veteran in me. Maybe I don't think that Shapiro would be a bad choice, but I think if she chooses Mark Kelly, the senator from Arizona, with his background, being a veteran, being an astronaut, and especially with what his wife went through, I think that would be the best choice. I think I've also seen him speak lately, because I had never really heard him speak too much. He is that thing that I think she needs to propel her. I think Shapiro would be great. I think Pete Buttigieg, if you see him on the stump, he's amazing, but I think that would be, sadly, a bridge too far for some people. So I think going with standard dude, a.k.a. Mark Kelly, would work, but that's just my opinion.
Any sense on Governor Waltz of Minnesota?
I think I like Waltz. I think he is very progressive. I think that this needs to be a youth movement, and I think even though Kelly is 60, and I don't think Waltz is that much older, I think that
Waltz is 60.
Yeah, so they're the same age, but yeah. Kelly just, maybe it's the bald head. I'm a bald head. Maybe it's the bald head that makes us look younger, more aerodynamic. But I like Waltz. I like Shapiro, but I think Kelly is going to check so many boxes. I think she might go with Shapiro after some stuff I read over the weekend, but I think that you know, his stance on Israel, even though he said, like, basically that, yeah, Netanyahu's, you know, he doesn't need to be in charge. I think that Kelly would just check so many boxes and might tip Arizona, even though you need. I don't think that if you choose Shapiro, you're definitely going to get Pennsylvania. I think if you choose Kelly, you might still get Pennsylvania, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. If you can get those three states, and if they're stumping for her, I think it's a good choice. I don't dislike. I think that's the thing. She has so many choices and a wealth of riches to go. I've yet to see a bad choice for VP. I just think that Kelly checks too many boxes.
Okay. Well, great. Well, we'll see. And things are changing all the time. So by time next week, maybe before this program ends, we might know who her vice president nominee is. So okay.
Thanks, Cecil.
Thank you so much. And you are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I'm Cecil Prescott, and we invite you to call and share some of your thoughts. We've had a couple of callers share their wisdom around the presidential campaign and the dynamics about that. I'm interested in your thoughts about the candidates. What do you think will happen or can happen within the next 90 days or so? It's interesting. I think our last caller talked about the race baiting that Donald Trump, historically has engaged in. We can go back to, the Obama campaign, and remember when he was talking about Mr. Obama as if he wasn't a citizen of the United States, and he said he had proof and he was doing this investigation and he had proof. That's just another one of those things along with that we never heard anything more of. But certainly this race baiting certain is something that Mr. Trump has engaged in, and indeed for decades, and going back to his real estate dealing in New York, in terms of who were allowed to rent apartments and who were not. This isn't anything new for Mr. Trump in terms of race baiting, but how the Vice President Harris will respond to it, we've seen some suggestions of how she will respond in terms of, first of all, this isn't her first rodeo, and those type of things are things I'm sure she is used to, but we'll see what happens. So what are your thoughts about the presidential campaign and how the dynamics have changed? I'm wondering, there's a certain level of excitement because it's certainly new, but I'm wondering in terms of policy, do people have particular issues around policy issues? So certainly if one was supporting President Biden, I suspect one might support Vice President Harris because of the policy, and it's, I'm sure within the next, next month, but we don't have that many more months. Within the next couple of months, we might see some separation of Vice President Harris claiming her own, not her own identity, but differences with the vice president. So people might clearly understand who she is and her vision for the nation. But we'll see. And in terms of progressives, what are their responses to it? What is the proper way to challenge, critique the major party candidates now that things are changing? And our numbers are 503-231-8187. And I wanted to mention, I think I have some time between calls, how the dynamics at the top of the tickets impact other races. And I came across an article yesterday that I wanted to share in talking about the dynamics of the race and how things change. And it was from the Portland Mercury, July 30th, and it was an article by Abe Asher. And it's about, you know, it's an article about the Multnomah County Democratic Party annual picnic. Now, that sounds like a great event. And, you know, anyone who's been involved even tangentially in, like, party politics know the what happens around campaigns in the summer in terms of picnics. It's an opportunity for various candidates to attend, to meet the people and get their names out. They have their supporters handing out stickers and balloons, and it's a grand time for everyone. Well, apparently the Multnomah County Democrats held their annual picnic at the Red Sunset Park in Gresham earlier this summer in July. And at the beginning of the event, the chair, Salome Chimuko, read out the names of the candidates present. And one candidate in particular received, as the writer says, and I'm quoting, a frosty reception. And I'm reading now. When Commissioner Rene Gonzalez was introduced, a number of people in the audience booed. Chris Olson, a candidate for Portland City Council in District 2, said the enmity for Gonzalez from a segment of the picnickers was not shocking. The fact that he showed his face at the Multnomah Dems picnic was just shocking to me, Olson said. It was like, what are you doing? No one likes you here. Gonzalez did have supporters in the crowd, including a handful of city council candidates who shared his positions on issues like policing and homelessness, but the reception he received speaks to broader issues that may decide the fate of his mayoral candidacy. In some respect, Gonzalez's campaign is going quite well, and, you know, talks about how much money he has and his fundraising, his strong base of support, mostly, you know, including a number of the city's most well, you know, prosperous business leaders. So he has a strong support. But Abe Asher notes that ranked choice voting system is you have to appeal to a wide swath of voters, which is critical. And the animosity to Gonzalez is drawn from some Democrats may be an issue in a city in which Democrats outnumber Republicans by nearly 5-1. To that end, a number of political observers have taken note of Gonzalez's attempts, and this is the point I wanted to make, to position himself within the mainstream of Portland Democratic politics in recent weeks, attending the Pride event and releasing a statement endorsing Vice President Kamala Harris for president. In a statement to the Mercury, Gonzalez emphasized his support for the party and its candidates. And he wrote, "As a lifelong Democrat, I'm enthusiastically supporting Kamala Harris and Oregon Democrats in this election. I hope the Multnomah County Democrat tent is big enough for diverse views, and I believe we have a common motivation for a better Portland for everybody. The Portland office, the mayor's office, is nonpartisan, and I'm running to be mayor of all Portlanders who know the city needs a new direction." But critics of Gonzalez have their own views of the commissioner's motivation for his recent declaration of his support for progressive candidates and Democratic causes. You know, I read it like someone who recognized that right of center and conservative politics are not durable and popular in Portland, Mitch Green, a candidate for Portland City Council District 4, said. And so if you can kind of create the appearance that you are aligned with our consensus value in a way that distracts from your actual record, that can be an expedient political move. The article goes on and talks more about how Mr. Gonzalez is trying to, you know, trying to broaden his appeal by appealing to a swath of Democrats, and with the ranked choice voting coming up, you need to appeal to a broader audience. So you can no longer be satisfied with having your base. You have to reach out, and with the ranked choice voting, there is an opportunity. You have to appeal to more people. So I think it is interesting that Rene Gonzalez, who is, you know, he says he's a lifelong Democrat, so I'll take him at his word. But certainly his appeal has been to much more conservative interests, and that's how he has governed, from doing all that he can to interrupt the work of the Portland Street Response to other ways in which he, in terms of policing and other issues in terms of economic development, Mr. Gonzalez has been, you know, say middle of the road. It, I think, is somewhat generous, but you know, conservative Democrat. So his appeal now, his trying to appeal to a wider population, is recognition that with ranked choice voting, we all will have an opportunity to vote not only for who we really want, but who we would find acceptable. And so Mr. Gonzalez is trying to widen his appeal. What are your thoughts about that? What are your thoughts about the elections in general, in terms of Mr. Gonzalez or any candidates trying to widen their appeal so that you will vote for them, and they will be maybe not your first choice, but your second choice, your third choice, or fourth choice? So how do people appeal to a wide range of voters? And with that, I want to suggest that there will be opportunities in coming weeks before the elections for people to become educated, and workshops to become educated about ranked choice voting and how to do it. There will be a workshop tomorrow, Tuesday, August 6th at 5:30 p.m. at the Lincoln High School in Southwest Washington. The presenters will include Tim Scott, Director of Elections for Multnomah County, Leah Benson, Ranked Choice Voting Project Manager for Multnomah County, and James Echols, Election Analyst of City of Portland. This will be an opportunity for you to learn how to vote. And it's sponsored by the City Club of Portland, Multnomah County, and City of Portland Elections Official. We'll explain the nuts and bolts of how it works. So that's an opportunity tomorrow evening, Tuesday, at Lincoln High School. Let's go to our next caller with some thoughts. And Joan, good morning. How are you?
Good. I'm fine. How are you, Cecil?
I'm well. What do you have to share with us?
What do I have to share? Well, my happiness about Kamala Harris, I think the timing is everything. Hmm. And it is time for Kamala Harris. It is so time. I feel like making a little sign and putting it on my hat. Kamala Harris, it is time. And it's not about identity politics. It's about a lot more. And I'm glad that Donald Trump is showing his hand to everyone who's watching exactly what he stands for. So I'm excited about this, like a lot of other people. And as far as city politics is concerned, I'm not a fan of Mr. Gonzalez, mainly because I feel like he represents the real estate interests and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And my views on the homelessness issue is the big elephant in the room that nobody's talking about, which is real estate speculation and real estate investment driving homelessness, and will continue to drive it until something is done about it. And we've got some really good people like Senator Merkley and Senator Wyden and so on and so forth, and Suzanne Bonamici. And, you know, I guess I'm not a politician, so I can say how I feel about it. Yeah. But I'm happy with Kamala Harris. I think definitely this is something we could all get behind, and we can maintain our ideals and still come together to do something very important about this country that we all live in, because any suffering that comes down through Mr. Trump's policies is going to affect a lot of people in a really bad way. So we have to think about that and think about, you know, think about the people who are vulnerable and who need good politics involved.
So when all this changed, I sense from and correct me if I'm wrong, a sense of enthusiasm for Vice President Harris' campaign, because you mentioned it's time. What about her that energizes you more so than President Biden?
I respect President Biden. I think he's an honest, decent man. Mm-hmm. And it's true that he's older, and I don't, you know, and it may be that he has health problems that we don't know about. Mm-hmm. And I think it was noble of him to step down, even though he didn't want to. Mm-hmm. But Kamala Harris, without getting into identity politics, I really like the idea of a black woman finally stepping up to the plate, because we, you know, she's got to, and it's not just her identity, it's her background. I think she'll be really good for women and kids. The fact that she's younger is good, and she's got this strength and energy, and she doesn't take any BS, you know? Mm-hmm. I think she could stand up to Trump and that vice president guy, who's a real monster, you know? I shouldn't say his name either. I mean, yes, I'm opinionated, but I'm happy about that, because I was really worried that as much as I think Mr. Biden is a decent man, that probably isn't enough to get him elected.
Yeah.
But she's really strong, and I love the way she stood up and, you know, said things at the various conferences in Wisconsin, for example. She's got Trump running scared. All he's got left is a bandage on his ear. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And he's going to show his hand against her. He's going to show himself for what he really is. Mm. And it's hard to ignore that, at least from my point of view.
Do you think that they will ever decide to debate? Or will he decide to debate her?
Will he? Gosh, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, I'm hoping that it doesn't wind up on Fox News, where they're, you know, where the media is doing all kinds of weird stuff with her. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
I think he's going to hit her with everything he's got. And I don't think that Trump is such a genius, but he's got his handlers are strategizing now. They're stumbling all over themselves, wondering how to play this one.
Right.
And so I hope that she's got, you know, I hope that she's got it together to face all that. But I think personally and politically, she's got it. And I really don't think that people should be nitpicking on her background, because I think as a prosecutor, if you really look into it, from what I've heard, she did some good stuff in a hard situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she did her job. She did what she was supposed to do, and she did it honestly, which is more than you can say for some people who want to be president.
Well, yeah.
You know, she's not a crook, but it's more than that. I think she's a person of integrity, and I think she cares about women and kids, and I think it's about time. You know, so does Mr. Biden, but you know, he wasn't projecting it strongly enough. And, you know, we really do have to get together as the party, because I think our diversity is our strength. You know, we're not all marching in lockstep. That's good. But we still have to agree on some basic things. And if anybody says to me the lesser of two evils, I'm going to throw something at them. You know what I mean?
Sure. Well,
I've had it with that.
That's all right. Well, thank you for your thoughts. And you know, buckle your seatbelts. It's going to be pretty rocky for the next couple of months.
Right. I'll do what I can do. You know, I hope we all can to make this happen. Well, I'd love to see it.
Well, thank you for sharing your thoughts and your expressions. And have a great day, Joan. Thank you.
Yeah, you too. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. And you are listening to More Talk Radio here in your community radio station on KBOO-FM. I'm Cecil Prescott, and our numbers here are 503-231-8187. We just finished having a conversation with Joan, and she shared her thoughts about the presidential race, the changing players in the presidential race, and why she is excited about the candidacy of the vice president, and Joan shared her thoughts on the presidential race and how the two candidates for the Republicans and Democratic Party might face off with one another, and made some observations around how to respond to Mr. Trump and the strength of the candidate of her choice. What are your thoughts? 503-231-8187. And let's hear from our next caller, Annalisa. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you? I haven't spoken to you in, it seems like, years.
I've talked to Celeste, though.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, my choices, or one of my choices, is, of course, and I'm surprised not more people bring her up, is Stacey Abrams, if she's willing. I wish Kamala Harris would choose a woman for vice president.
Mm.
Stacey Abrams, strong, experienced, with high integrity, and or Kirsten Gillibrand or Alexandria Octavia Cortez, one of those women, and some others. I think Whitmer has she has declared herself not available for that. I'm not sure, but yeah. Anyway, that is my humble opinion.
So let me ask you about that. Do you think a ticket with two women could win?
Well, that's the point. That is the hard point. That might be one of my children said, that might be a hard sell.
Why would it be?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it would be really good, Stacey Abrams, when she was voted or not voted in for governor of Georgia,
mm-hmm.
Apparently what I heard was that it was not done in a honest way by Kemp.
Yeah.
He won through some whatever devious plan,
mm-hmm.
but I try to follow her off and on. But I think she would be a great vice president.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why that would be an obstacle in the United States. I think it would be great for the United States if we had two women. And I don't know anything about the possible candidates, except that what I heard on Democracy Now a few days or so ago, mm-hmm. about Shapiro, that he doesn't have a positive not a positive view of the democracy.
I see. I see. Well, you know, I would hope that more people had an attitude that you have. Why not two women on on a ticket. And why would that be an issue? But I think misogyny will raise its ugly head. But who knows? Would have thought that a woman, a black woman of South Asian descent would be a candidate for president? So, who knows?
It's not going to happen because she needs to declare today or tomorrow.
Right.
All I see is the pictures of five or six men, and I don't know much about any of them.
Right.
However, I know a little bit more about Stacey Abrams and Kirsten Gillibrand and their political views.
Okay.
And of course Alexandria Octavia Cortez.
Right.
I think that would be a riot for the good for the nation.
Well, let's continue to work for that, so that becomes more than a wish but a reality. So
yeah, maybe Cable can try and interview any of them, like say Stacey Abrams over the radio. Interview them.
See where they stand. Okay.
Anyway, thank you for your program, Cecil.
Thank you so much, and it's great speaking with you. Have a great morning.
Have a good day. Bye.
Goodbye. And you are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I'm Cecil Prescott. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. Our last caller, Annalisa, were mentioning why she was supporting on Kamala Harris and her thoughts on why Kamala Harris should choose a woman as her vice presidential candidate. Let's go to our next caller, Tangent. Good morning, Tangent.
Hey, how are you, brother? Was just wondering, I had never noticed, and I have paid attention, but I could be wrong, so much attention being paid to who the vice presidential choice was. I seem to remember they were just, brought out.
Mm-hmm.
Trotted out or whatever.
Right.
And there they were, but here we are going to focus on that. Now another question. I'm focusing on the words and the phrases that are used.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder, who decides which are going to be, which and which are not going to be the battleground states? Why are they battleground? I want to focus on the militaristic aspect of our language.
Basically. Oh, very, very good.
Okay, so who says it? Well, there's a battleground. Washington, is that a battleground state?
No. Well, okay. I think...
No, but why? There's military campaigns, there's political campaigns and military campaigns.
Yeah, I think you have a good point in terms of language. Say something more about that, because I think how we say things, the militarization of our language says something about us as a society.
Okay, there's a bombshell story.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This company president was held under fire by the Senate. Under fire is under actual, even arms, guns.
So,
my wife is French, so I know a bit about French, and arms in French are weapons or guns. It could be swords, it could be pistols.
So let me ask you in terms of...
Wait.
I want you to propose other language. So give us example of other languages instead of using, he was bombarded.
I don't want people to speak French, but... people could know that over half of our language is based on French. A lot of it's some comes from German and Latin. But
so give us some language.
So wait a minute, hang on. I just want us to we could spell words correctly. So first of all, instead of saying it's inconsistent, say it's inconsistent. That's a one. In is not un. Con is not com. Com is with, com.
Okay. Well,
It seems.
All right, maybe that's too deep. I don't know.
No, it's not too deep.
People think this is really important because, and this is put out to Santiago. I really always love listening to Santiago. They've taught us that this big political system is very important, but mostly what they do is a lot of nothing. That's what they do. A lot of nothing. They eat well. They have national health care. Why don't we have national health care? It's extremely simple. If you get away from the... Okay, my basic
thing you, Tangent. You raised a lot of issues this morning, and it's hard to hold on to one. They're all good. I appreciate what you have to say. And before we go to our next caller, I want you to conclude. So how would you like to conclude?
Okay, here's what it is. One day it occurred to me a few years ago that people believe in things that they don't know. So a lot of people say, I believe in God. And I would. So can you say, you know in God? Or, I believe in the political system. Do you know in the political system? Or do you know about what NPR and everybody else says, you know, New York Times or what have you, about it? And how important it is, and how democracy in action and trilla.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
Peace. Thanks for listening.
Okay. And that was Tangent, who had several opinions on issues in terms of how we speak, particularly in terms of our language and how we have militarized our language, and the challenges that says about who we are as a society. What are some of your thoughts? Our numbers here are 503-231-8187, and let's hear what Francis has to say. Good morning, Francis.
Hi. Glad to hear you back. I agree with your last caller. The language is very militaristic right now, and you know, we're going to fight to win all the time. We say this. We're fighting.
Right.
And I was thinking about the word retaliation.
Yeah.
And how every country has a right to retaliate.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember my daddy, when we were kids, one of his frequent admonitions was, two wrongs don't make a right. Mm-hmm. And that was to keep us from fighting with each other, right?
Yes.
So, you know, we've got all these little children watching the grown-ups spend trillions of dollars retaliating while children are being killed. You know, it doesn't... It's very simple, but so difficult for us to see. I don't like it. But as far as the... Go ahead.
No. Before you move on, I wanted you to say, in terms of the language, in terms of, you know, this fighting, I often try to find other words. Instead of fighting, I said sometimes struggling, but is that a good word? Or
endeavor.
Endeavor, you know? Yeah, that's probably.
Let's win this, you know, we can win. We don't have to fight while we're trying to win it, you know.
Okay, yeah.
It's just the words that are chosen. And as far as the election goes, women need Kamala to win,
mm-hmm.
just to protect our freedoms. Of the people that are being considered for vice president, if the party and Kamala are believe in the power of the message that they're presenting, then I think the best person for VP would be Tim Walz from Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
His politics are right on. He's a pro-union. He tells them that they should stay out of his wife's business, which is pretty much what I agree. It's nobody's business what a woman does. It's her body.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
he's very adamant about that. And I think in most issues, he's pretty right on. He's pro-union, as I said. But if that's what they're really wanting to do, is carry the message, then they will choose someone like him. If it's just to win,
mm-hmm.
then they might get somebody from one of the swing states. They wouldn't call them swing states instead of battleground states.
Right. There you go. Yeah, that's interesting. So, you know, one thing I heard that Tim Walz, he, in terms of language, you know, for weeks, Democrats had talked about, you know, this is a an election for democracy, you know, and all of that, and then Tim Walz, in which other Democrats, including the vice president, have picked up, have, you know, made the observation that, you know, certainly that Mr. Trump is a threat to democracy. That's what the language they were using up to a few weeks ago. But Tim Walz came up with, you know, a lot of this stuff is just weird. And all the Democrats have picked it up. And I thought, wow, maybe.
It's like how much they want to be in people's business. It's crazy to me.
Maybe that's.
The book banning and all that stuff, you know, it's just like, is that what you really want? I don't think a lot of supporters of Trump actually realize. I think if somebody just told them to sit down and just think about this for a second, they'd realize, you know, their freedoms are at risk.
Yeah, and maybe, again, we began our conversation about the language we use, and maybe the language, you know, saying sometimes people understand things differently by using different words. So a lot of time, you know, advertisers, you know, test things out all the time. Will this sell? This won't sell. And I think the Democrats probably have picked up Tim Walz as saying that, like you suggested, when you sit down and think, a lot of this stuff is just weird. So,
I think someone like Tim Walz can speak to the people who are maybe undecided.
Right.
Or,
more so than.
I mean, he can make it very clear.
Maybe.
To them, what the mission should be. I don't know if that's what it really is. Then I think he'd be one.
But and you
he,
know, I
one is a beautiful communicator. Though.
Right. I wonder though that by calling that weird, whether or not supporters would be saying, "Oh, so you calling me weird?" Just like you remember years ago when Hillary Clinton talked about what was the word to use. Deplorables or something.
Yeah. That was silly. But, and that's why I don't appreciate the prosecutor and the felon either, because there's a lot of wrongfully convicted felons in this country, so I don't think that's a good way to go in that kind of language.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that in the conversation, Tim Walz is very down to earth and very real about what he says. And I mean, I think they can make the distinction between saying that the notion is weird and the person is weird. And that, you know, if people are allowed to talk, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think
weird is kind of a funny word.
Yeah.
But I understood what they meant. But they don't need to run that into the ground either.
Right. That's a good point. You know, you come up, you know, everything has a life, you know, so don't, you know, for a moment.
Yeah, don't wear it out.
Don't wear it out. Hey, well, thank you so much for calling. And, you know, the vice president hasn't announced her candidate yet as of 25 minutes ago. And the final decision will probably be tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. I just hope that it's someone that can help keep the momentum going and not turn some people off. So we'll see.
Stay tuned. Okay, thank you so much,
Francis. Take care.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye. That was Francis, and she was sharing some of her thoughts about the presidential campaign, her feelings about the vice president. We extended the conversation about language and how words matter and how we ought to be careful about what words we choose and how we say it. I want to thank an earlier caller who raised that. I believe it was Tangent. And I think that's something we should explore more in terms of language and the words we use. So, you know, things are difficult, but do we have to use militaristic terms all the time? Something to think about. In the meantime, continue to listen to KBOO. And coming up soon is more programming that is interesting to you. I'm Cecil Prescott. Thank you for joining me, and stay tuned. Have a good day, and we will speak with you soon. Bye.
This is Ursula K. Le Guin, and you are listening to KBOO, the cheerful voice of social conscience, KBOO, Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open media.